The television program What's My Line first aired on February 2nd, 1950 on CBS. They would blindfold the panelists and then allow them to ask questions of the guests in order to determine their occupation. On each program, it was a weekly program, on each program a mystery guest would appear on the show, and the panelists again would have their eyes blindfolded, and they could ask one yes or no question of the guest in an effort to determine his or her identity. By the way, What's My Line holds the record for being the longest running U.S. primetime network game show ever. Paul spends the first two verses of our text this morning telling us what Christ did. Then he spends the remaining seven verses telling us who Christ is. In verses 12 and 14, he says that Christ has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints, that Christ has redeemed us from the power of darkness, that Christ has transferred us into the kingdom of God, that Christ has redeemed us and he has forgiven us of our sins. This is no ordinary feat. This was something that Paul was relating to the Colossians that they were unaware of, that they had never heard of before. There was no God who they had been offering sacrifices to before that could offer them what Christ had done for them. And so now Paul begins to tell them who it is who is able to do this. He wants them to know the supremacy of Christ. In a Roman culture, in their past lives, they've worshiped a variety of gods. But now, Paul wants them to know that there is only one God, that God is the supreme God, and how Christ is that God. So Paul begins by talking to them about the creative power of God, and how that creative power linked God the Father and God the Son together. John says it this way in the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. John, in his gospel, is simply describing what we have already read in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Word of God began the act of creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Notice what Paul said when he spoke of God the Father. He said of God the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. But then when he talked about the Son, Jesus Christ, he says Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Paul said that creation came from the Father through Jesus, and that we live for God through Jesus. The writer of Hebrews picked up on that same theme in introducing his book, starting in verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and listen now, and through whom also he made the universe. There it is again. Father, God the Father, created life through Jesus, the living Word of God. We see it again in our text, verse 16. For in Him, speaking of Christ, in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. The Bible lays out this clear distinction regarding creation. It wants us to see this correlation, this combination, this unity of God, that God could say through words, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Paul picked up on that, as John did. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And Paul tells us that God, through God everything came to be, or by God everything came to be, but through Christ that creative power was unleashed and set free. In reading our text today, two thoughts come across to me that I want to touch upon in our remaining time this morning before we take communion. And the first one is this: God is in control. God is in control. He created all things, our text said, all powers, all rulers, all authorities. So what does that say to me today? And what does that say to you? It says this: God knows where you are right now on May 3rd, 2020. Not only does God know where you are, but God knows what you're facing. God knows what this day holds, what this week holds, what this entire month holds. We just finished the month of April, and we look back upon April, but now we're in a new month, a new day, a new time. And the same God that was with us in April is with us in May. You know, I can remember as a child when my dad would take us to the fair, when it would come at the end of October, beginning of November of every year, we would go to the fair. And I remember the one ride that I liked to ride was the bumper cars. You'd go get on the car, and there'd be, you know, maybe 15 cars in that area, and you were supposed to go around. But the purpose of bumper car was not to see who could finish first. The purpose of bumper car was to see how many cars you could knock and run into as the time is going by. The thing you had to be aware of, though, the danger of bumper cars is this. When you're focused on the car ahead of you and you're thinking, "Man, I'm going to ram him or her in the rear end," you don't notice the car that's getting ready to T-bone you. It seems like lately, for the past weeks, we have been on some kind of bumper car ride in life. Just when we think we're going to come out of it, something else is unleashed, and we're hit again, and we're knocked again, and we hear more news of what's happening, and we hear more news of potential shortages, and we hear more news of people losing their jobs, and we hear more news of bad problems and bad things that are occurring. We have to be reminded, and we have to remind ourselves that God has not abdicated His throne, that God has not vacated His throne in heaven, that God is still in control, that God is still guiding your life, directing your life, knows what's going on in your life, and is right there with you. This is the time in which we have to draw our strength from the Word of God, and particularly what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, when he said, "For we know," not "we hope," not "we're imagining," not "that we're holding on to," "for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So what I hear today in our text, the first thing I hear is this: God is still in control. But the second thing I hear is this, is that you and I are not mistakes. Our text said this: all things have been created through Him and for Him. All things includes you, and all things includes me. You were created by God. You're not a mistake. You're not a regret. You have gifts and talents that have been placed in you by God Himself. Your life has not been placed on the shelf somewhere to gather dust until you die. God still has a plan for your life. God still has a destiny and a purpose yet to be fulfilled in your life. And I can reassure you that coronavirus is not going to stop God from fulfilling what He has dedicated and dictated and prescribed for your life. It is still going to happen. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You're not a byproduct of someone's actions. You were designed and created by God. The psalmist said this in the 139th Psalm, verse 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now, don't do it right now, but after our service today, after we've taken communion, you go find the closest mirror you can find, and you look at it, and you say, God, your works are wonderful. I am one of your works. I am wonderful. We're all living in a pressure cooker right now, and we're all being affected by this pandemic. It's revealed a lot of flaws in our lives. It's revealed a lot of flaws in our health system. It's revealed a lot of flaws in our supply system, our food chain. It's revealed a lot of flaws that we weren't aware of. We live in a time in which it is very easy to be critical. It's very easy to be cold. One of the things I do not like about masks, two of the things I don't like, first of all, I can't hear anybody what they're saying. But the second thing is, I can't see anyone smile. I am a people person. I like to engage with people. I like to see people smile. I like to hear people laugh. I like to smile. I like to laugh. And it seems like we're in a stage right now of life in which there's not a whole lot of smiling. There's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. We're trying to maintain our social distancing. And, we get the look sometimes when somebody feels like we've encroached 5 feet and 6 inches rather than 6 feet. It's a hard time. It's a cold time right now. But it doesn't have to be that way for children of God, because God is in control. Because God created all things, because God has a plan and a purpose for our life, you and I can have peace. You and I can have joy. You and I can have rest. We don't have to live in fear. The Bible says fear has torment. Perfect love drives out fear. So you and I can live in that realm of perfect love because we know that Christ is in control, that God created all things through Him, that He is the living Word of God, and the creative power of God that flowed in Him still flows through Him today. So I want to encourage you today, don't fall into the trap of fear. Don't fall into the trap of depression. Don't fall into the trap of hopelessness and feeling like, well, nothing's ever going to change. It's never going to get better. I want to encourage you, and I want to say to you today, God is in control, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And Calvary says that so boldly and so clearly, that Christ went to the cross and died because that was God's plan for you and it was God's plan for me. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't done for just a particular group of people or a particularly economic segment of our society. No, God did it for you. God did it for me. Oh, the love of God. How we can rest in that today, that God loves me. God has a plan for my life, and God's plan for your life are not finished. So I ask you and invite you to join me in prayer. Father, today, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are still in control, and we can have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father, your Son Jesus said, "The peace I give to you is not like the world gives." And so, Father, today we thank you for the creative peace of God, the creative love of God, the creative word of God, the creative power of God. We thank you, Father, that we can rest in the knowledge that you're in control, that our hope and our trust and our confidence is not in man, but our hope and our trust and our confidence is in you. And Lord, today we declare by faith, our best days are still ahead of us. Our best days are still in front of us. And so for that, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he gave his life, that he allowed his body to be broken, his blood to be shed, so that we could be heirs of God, that we could be brought out of the kingdom of darkness. So when someone could say, "Who did this for you? Who would love mankind like that?" we could go to Colossians chapter 1 and say, "This is what he did, and this is who he is." He is the creative power of God that did not just work in Genesis, but is still working in our lives today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.